Hi, it's Thursday, May 16th, 2013. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. This is episode 14, Hell Needs a New HR Department. Running time is 39 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and other stuff too.
Other stuff too.
It's so easy to make Tyler laugh. I can do it by saying something dumb. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
Here I am laughing about stupid stuff like other stuff too.
Today we're probably going to sing the Doom song, and you will tell us never to ever sing again.
Doom, 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 doom.
Before we get to that though, Tyler, what have you been playing?
Well, other than Doom, obviously. Primarily Final Fantasy VI, a little bit of Battlefront. Actually, I have been moving the treadmill right over there.
Didn't even realize you owned a treadmill.
But I've been moving the treadmill over in front of the TV and playing Battlefront for about half hour while running, and I usually get in about 3 miles and don't even realize I'm running, and it's awesome.
That's pretty good.
I want a treadmill to try that now.
I suggest an elliptical bike. A treadmill is very easy to fall off. I have, a couple times.
Well, exercise equipment in general, I think, would be a good way to do that.
How far into Final Fantasy VI are you?
I'm at the part where spoilers.
Did the thing happen to the world yet?
No, the thing has not happened to the world yet. I am pretty close to that, though.
What?
Did the opera happen yet?
Yes. I am in between those two things. I'm actually, Celis has disappeared from the party temporarily.
So the Joker already poisoned the river?
Yes. Oh, that's like way early. That's...
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to make a joke about Kefka being the Joker and see how seamlessly you got it. Since, you know, Kefka is the evil magic Joker.
He is.
So confused.
I'm doing the Final Fantasy Anthology version because Ed owned it, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's got a pre-rendered cutscene, and Celis and Terra look exactly the same in it. I cannot tell them apart.
Huh.
They both have blonde hair, even though Terra's hair is blue, so...
Don't worry, Zach. We'll make you play Final Fantasy VI. You'll enjoy it.
It's actually a good game. You will like it. It's better than the other Final Fantasy you played recently.
You can suplex a giant ghost train.
Yes, you can, although I prefer Phoenix Sounds.
What other Final Fantasy game have I played recently?
You're playing, like, 13, or whatever the newest one was, not too long ago.
I played 13, like, last year, at least.
Yeah, that's the most recent, isn't it?
I want to get this recorded on the mics. Zach, you own and have beaten Final Fantasy X-2, but have not beaten Final Fantasy X.
Low blow!
Actually, I like 10-2. It's all happy and bubbly, and the leveling system's awesome.
The leveling system is awesome. And Final Fantasy X had Blitzball. How the hell am I supposed to care about the fate of the world when Blitzball?
I love Blitzball.
See, Tyler gets it.
That's the best part about that game.
High five!
Because the prize for winning Blitzball is Waka's super ultimate attack that you combine with Riku's to kill everything in one hit.
Raise your hand if you dodge 300 lightning bolts in a row.
High five over here this time. That one sucked. Yeah! So, Zach, what have you been playing since you haven't been playing Final Fantasy?
I've been getting back into Record of Agra Zero, which basically means I'm grinding a hell of a lot. Dirt 3, ODST, and I've been playing way too much Digital Catan.
There's a service for this?
There's an Xbox Live arcade game.
Oh,
it's
okay.
An arcade game with... I've been playing against AI.
That sounds like fun, actually. Well, I play Dominion all the time on my phone.
Well, the best part about it is when you trade with the port, and you're trading cheap with the port. I think we talked about
this. It doesn't go, sploosh.
Bah, splash. It does the same thing if you trade wheat, but it's like birds.
The only thing wrong with that game is the achievements, which are like, get the longest road in 1,000 games.
It's only 10. I've got that one.
Oh, okay. A lot of them are really, really, really grindy, speaking of that.
I've just been playing it a lot. It's been weird. I'm like... I have this weird attachment to playing the digital version. Maybe it's because I can actually win that one.
Well, you like Catan, too. That's a game you recommend a fair amount.
Yeah, if you need a game for the whole family to play, Catan's pretty easy. Of course, it does end up with that situation of, why is everyone rolling 11? I have 8s!
I got my mom to play Dominion. She actually likes that game, so...
Yeah, my parents will play Catan with me, but not Dominion. So what have I been playing, you ask? Thanks.
Jeremy, what have you been playing?
No problem.
You're welcome.
Not much, actually. Doom, obviously, but even not much of that. A League of Legends, again, obviously. Actually, a fair amount. I played a lot of that Tuesday.
I started League of Legends this weekend, actually.
Oh, you pick up any champion in particular, or?
No, I played through the tutorial level, so.
Sweet, sweet. Who did you play through as?
I can't even remember.
The
a chick
archer?
Of some sort.
Ash, no. Probably.
Is this a Steam thing?
No, you can get League of Legends for free.
Yeah.
By going to leagueoflegends.com.
It's Riot Games is the publisher and developer.
So. Well, I've been thinking about getting, you know, just because I don't hang out with you guys nearly enough anymore.
Yeah, we should do some 3v3s, totally. We can play versus bots. It'll be fine. I'll carry.
I'll mid. I'll gank. I'll jungle.
I'll die.
You don't have a jungler in 3-on-3, really.
Oh. Well,
there's a jungle.
I'll jungle. Oh, actually, I can see why that would be a problem, because they have 3 lanes, so one person jungling would totally screw up 1 lane.
No, it's a 2-lane map in 3-on-3. It's a different map. You've only got one jungle, though, there's, you know, because there's 2 lanes, so there's only one spot between them. But speaking of MOBAs, the other thing I've been playing is, about a month ago, I downloaded a whole bunch of demos from Xbox Live and never played them, so I've been going through those. So I've played Awesome Knots. Way, way better than it sounds. And yes, it sounds awesome. Just hear the theme song. It's a MOBA that's kind of a 2D side-scroller MOBA. It's hard to describe because I don't have Live, so I couldn't play any actual multiplayer.
What the hell is a MOBA?
Yeah, that's my question.
League of Legends, Dota.
Okay.
It stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena.
Okay.
You choose a character, you have lanes, you have creeps, you farm the creeps to kill the guy in your lane. Awesome Knots. I would have bought it if I had Live. The achievements are all great. They include Thunder, 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 and Roll Out. Let Our Powers Combine.
I'll form the head.
Yo-Jo. And Masters of the Universe.
This does sound pretty awesome, just based on the achievement names.
So that's pretty great. On the other hand, I played Guardians of Middle-Earth. Did I should make you guys watch the trailer for that?
No.
Imagine Lord of the Rings characters in the most over-the-top, not Lord of the Rings situation possible. Like, Gollum is throwing rocks at Gandalf, who is, like, shooting lasers to deflect them.
I keep seeing on the new releases for add-ons to stuff, there's usually at least one thing a week for that. Like, Frodo is a playable guardian. Who the hell wants to play Frodo in anything?
You should see the list of playable guardians, because Frodo is a step up.
Really?
Well, Gandalf's in there, but the ones that were free when I tried it were Legolas, a hobbit I had never heard of, Arathorn, Aragorn's dad.
Isn't he dead?
The Witch King, who, of course, I went with. And then 3 orcs I didn't recognize. The Mouth of Sauron was there, but he was not playable, as was Lurtz, but he also wasn't free. Terrible console MMO. Awesome Knots did it perfectly. This game is just terrible. And I'd go on about this if this was the League of Legends podcast.
Which it is sometimes, so.
Whenever Jeremy starts talking.
Well, that's a video game, and also another thing, so.
Yeah, I suppose.
I've played a bunch of other stuff, too, but to keep it short, the one thing that really stood out of me was Age of Booty.
Sounds awesome!
We currently live in that age, ladies and gentlemen.
Just type it into the Googles.
Is this a Xbox thing?
It's Xbox Live Arcade. It's made by Capcom, so good pedigree. We were talking on our blog. There was a small conversation in the comments, which you can see at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Plug.
How is it plugging our own thing? It's our podcast, so they obviously it's our blog.
You know, the blog is different than the podcast, though, because the blog is basically us ranting about stuff. The podcast is us ranting about stuff. Okay, yeah, you got a point.
Well, right now it's you ranting about stuff.
Anyway, we had a discussion about genres and tropes and what makes them. Age of Booty is a real-time strategy game, but I have trouble calling it a real-time strategy game because it uses so few of the troops, few of the tropes. You only control one unit, which makes it perfect for a console because you can get perfect control.
Well, that is also very few of the troops.
Yes. You control a single sailing ship. Those of you who know me know why I love this game because it's all naval combat and you can upgrade your speed to get that edge. And I am all about that.
Oh, is there broadside combat?
It is all broadside combat.
Oh, God, I want to play this game.
I still think you should play Battle Stations Midway.
Probably.
I will loan it to you one of these days if you want.
But it's a hex-based map. You have resources that you get by taking towns. You move your pirate ship about. You move it next to other pirate ships, the broadside. This is the entire game. It's not much, but the demo is great, and I'm very much considering picking it up.
I just got to the point in Fear the Boot where they're talking about Danvers and broadside ship combat in Danvers.
I want Danvers to come out so bad.
all the things I've heard about, I want Danvers to come out as well.
I want to run something in Danvers. Ugh.
I want to run something in Skies of Glass, but I always thought Adventure Time would be a great setting for an RPG.
Yeah.
Or Bravest Warriors.
Yeah, right? Well, see, one of them's sci-fi, one of them's, like, medieval ish. What exactly do you call the setting of D&D? Fantastic medieval?
No, just fantasy usually.
Well, yeah, but why does fantasy have to be medieval?
Because I say so.
I really wanted to run like a World War II fantasy with machine guns and biplanes.
Oh, but there aren't any rules for that, really.
Well, yeah, but you just make a setting.
Savage Worlds would run it easy. I would want to do it.
Yeah, you love Savage Worlds.
So do I. Savage Worlds is a great system.
Savage Worlds is a great system. There's nothing attached to it is my biggest problem.
Well, yeah, that's why, as a GM, you write a game setting.
And attach it.
Sometimes I like to see that they do the work as well. It's a good system. It's an effective system, but you can't run everything out of Savage Worlds. There are certain feels you can get in. Like, Death Watch has a much different feel that wouldn't really come across in Savage Worlds.
You know what would come across in Savage Worlds, though? Indiana Jones. And you know what World War II with orcs would be like?
Speaking of fantasy World War II, it occurred to me while I was starting up Final Fantasy VI and watching the intro scene, it's totally a steampunk setting.
Yeah, how did you not notice that?
I thought all Final Fantasy was generally steampunk.
Six is really where it started, and six is also really steampunk.
Well, I guess 13 is mostly, would be closer to cyberpunk, yeah. I want to say. I'm not really familiar with either one.
13 is almost just sci-fi.
Yeah. Well, 13's a great movie, so I'm never going to get through it.
So I would call 7 probably cyberpunk, but in the intro dialogue of 6, they actually say, you live in a world where everything is powered by steam. I'm like, how did I never notice this before?
Exactly does a steam-powered turret differentiate between friend and foe?
Magic, which is actually a thing in this, and not Bioshock.
Also, I don't think there are steam-powered turrets in this. Though there is a steam-powered flying castle. Or is it just a burrowing castle? It's been a while.
It's just burrowing. It can
in! I want to play this now.
Well, you don't play as him, but he's one of the party members.
I kind of want to try this now.
It's great.
Also, his name's Edgar, and he uses a variety of random weapons to be better than everyone else. So, his brother is a martial artist that can suplex a train. This game is awesome. Also, Jeremy and I played a game of Civ 4 over the weekend.
Yeah, it was sad. I was Babylon and had a great start, but Justinian kind of stomped on us.
They didn't invite me.
We started this game at like 10 o'clock at night on Friday. I figured you would be asleep.
I was asleep. I get up at 2 on Friday.
I know. That's why I figured you were asleep on Saturday.
Saturday morning at 2.
All right. So I think that's enough of what we've all been playing. So Zach, you said you were playing some ODST.
Yes. There are two levels in the game. I have not pardoned Firefight, but that is my true passion for ODST is the Firefight. Not so much the campaign. I don't care for the campaign so much, but Firefight is amazing.
I do really like survival modes like that, especially in something as complex as a first-person shooter.
I do much better in Firefight when I don't have dead weight dragging me down.
It's not my fault.
Although you like survival and fighting games too, don't you?
I do. I like potentially endless modes that are based only on your skill.
Actually, I'm with him. I really like modes like that. Gradually ramp up the challenge until you finally...
die?
Yeah, until you finally die, until you lose.
That's the Nazi zombie survival mode that they've been putting into Call of Duty.
Yeah,
recently.
But they've been gradually getting more and more complicated, which I think is defeating a lot of the purpose. I still think the first one, World of War, was the better one.
Well, that's the only one I played, so I don't know how they've gotten more complicated. But...
you've got, like, objectives you have to go get, and there's, like, versus Nazi zombies, where there are two teams of guys fighting Nazi zombies.
Well, like, one of them is, you go turn on the power! Why do I care? I just want to try and see how good I am, see how long I can last.
I played a number of Flash games where you just have to, like, sit in a house and you can slowly upgrade the house with the money that you get from killing the zombies with, like, turrets and stuff. I want to see that as a first-person shooter.
Have you heard of Don't Starve?
No.
Oh, is that the new game on Steam? They released it recently?
The new one. Yes, the one.
Yes, the only one.
I think it's on Steam.
I saw some gameplay trailers for it, and I like the concept. The art style is super not my thing.
I've just heard descriptions of it, so I don't know, but it sounded like you'd be into it.
Yeah, like I said, the game concept looks cool, but it just... something about the way it's drawn totally turns me off from it.
All right, fair enough.
I'm better than both of you.
At first-person shooters?
No, just in general.
In general, but first-person shooters are part of that.
You tend to be good at first-person shooters, and I'm not sure why.
Most of them are pretty similar.
There is that.
They're easy to adapt to and figure out how exactly you want to go about it. Halo, it's better to get in close if you're not very good with a rifle like I'm not.
You and I are the same in platformers. It doesn't take us that much time to switch even from something like Castlevania, which has the marital jump arcs.
It did take me a little bit to get used to those.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I can jump from first-person shooter to first-person shooter. I've had a couple moments where it's like, wait a minute, right button is no longer punch. Now it's throw grenade. I better start running before that goes off.
I have that all the time. So what was the first-person shooter you ever played, Zach?
GoldenEye.
Yeah, GoldenEye.
See, I never played GoldenEye. I would hear stories about it, but I didn't have the money to buy it, and I wasn't a big shooter or James Bond guy, so I didn't play one until Perfect Dark.
I didn't even know it was James Bond, to be entirely honest with you. I played it at my cousin Travis's birthday party. That's the first introduction I had. I don't think I played another one until Perfect Dark came around.
I had rented it at some point and played through the first-person mode. I don't think I ever actually played GoldenEye multiplayer until after Perfect
Dark. You mean
Dark
the single
out.
Player?
Yeah, what did I say?
First-person mode?
Well, it's also
first-person.
I had rented it, played through the single-player mode, but I had never actually played it multiplayer until after Perfect Dark came out.
We spent a lot of time playing multiplayer Perfect Dark.
I love the Cyclone. That was the only way I could survive in that game, was just stand in a corner and empty the magazine at things.
That's kind of the only way you can survive in modern games, too, isn't it?
No, I'm a little bit better than that now. I can burst fire. I don't have to do the entire magazine anymore.
Call of Duty, you only need, like, 3 shots to kill anybody.
Yeah.
From, like, a dart gun.
I only ever really need one.
You just have, like, a spitball
thing. Blowgun?
Well, that explains why they die from knives to the feet.
So, what are our feelings on first-person shooters? Zach, I know you have a love-hate relationship with them that's mostly love.
No, it's actually that he hates people, so he loves the game, he just hates playing the game with people online.
Well, actually, I thought about that, and I realized I don't care about competition so much as challenge. And the problem is, offline, there isn't as much challenge to be had, so I go online, but the competition thing, sometimes, especially with the servers and stuff like that, bugs the crap out of me.
For first-person shooters, it's definitely the competition aspect that I like. I don't care if I'm winning or losing or how hard it is. I just like playing against other people.
For me, it's not even that. It's just the bowling alley thing, and I would rather play a fighter or something like Battle Block Theater, another game I played and didn't talk about that's just sort of a funny challenge game. I really honestly don't like first-person shooters. The perspective gives me a headache, and I'm really aware of the things that I would realize were around me in a real life situation with my hearing and my, you know, tactile information.
You're pretty good at them, though.
Lack of peripheral vision in first-person shooters bugs the crap out of me. Because oftentimes, when I'm playing, I'll find myself stuck on a random obstacle in the environment that I, as a person, would notice, but I cannot see on the screen.
You do that in a lot of third-person games, too. I've noticed that when we've played together.
What third-person games have we ever played together?
Gears. I played a little bit of Battlefront with you, too.
I don't think
I think Battlefront has a lot more open environments.
There's not much clutter to get stuck on Battlefront. The only thing you can really get stuck on is a turret, which is pretty obvious. Although, they've been doing a lot in games to give you more information like that, like having a mini-map with you on it that helps you, having radar that also acts as your hearing. They've done a lot to give you better information.
Apparently all COD soldiers have hearing aids, because as soon as your map is jammed, you don't get any more information. Crap, they jammed my hearing aids, son!
Also, you can't feel things anymore, so you can't tell if there's like a wall in front of you.
I'm a big fan of haptic feedback in general.
What do you mean, like the controller rumbles when you walk into something? Actually, I think that would go a long way to alleviate some of what you've got with you can't feel what's going on around you if the controller started going, if you're bumping into something.
That definitely helps.
They make like vests and helmet combinations that buzz when you get hit in a first-person shooter, the direction you got hit from.
That's another thing that Doom, the game we're playing, doesn't have that new ones do. The screen will flash red and sort of arrowish towards where you're getting shot if you're attacked from, say, behind. Since, you know, if you get shot in the back, you're, well, actually, a lot of people go into shock and wouldn't realize. But if you're a big, powerful Marine wearing armor and there's an impact on your back.
If you are that badass that you cannot be held.
The best Doom gives you is when you die, you turn to the thing that killed you as you die.
So let's jump right into Doom. What are you guys' first impressions of the game?
I loved it. I liked it a lot more than I've liked a lot of games in the last few years.
I really like it. It's a lot of fun. It could almost be an arcade game, actually.
I really liked it. I was like, man, this soundtrack is awesome. Man, shooting dudes is awesome. Yeah, I beat this level. And then my game froze. And not only my game, my Xbox 360 hard froze on a game from 1992.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay, this is an old gaming experience I used to have all the time that this podcast hasn't given me yet. That's kind of cool. And then it happened again, and I was like, God, how did I play NES games when they froze and I'd have to blow into them and start all over?
Mine never froze that much.
Mine never froze.
It's a problem with the arcade version of the 360.
No, I mean not Doom. I mean my old cartridges never froze that much.
No.
I had a dusty NES.
Okay, Doom, it's a first-person shooter. If you haven't heard of it, then you should climb out of that rock you've been living under.
It's the first one to have online multiplayer.
It had one of the biggest controversies surrounding it when it came out.
Yeah, it's one of the things that prompted video game ratings.
So. I actually looked it up because I wasn't sure. I looked up I read the Wikipedia article on it, talked about all these controversies. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, yeah, the guys who did Columbine played it, so they got blamed for it. And I want to say we're qualified to talk about Columbine because we were in elementary schools in Colorado when it happened. But really, we're not. Were you here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, I think, probably geographically the closest to that at the time it happened.
Probably. Where were you?
Littleton.
Yeah, probably closer than us. Were you still at Cherokee Trail then? Or
no, I'd been.
So I was furthest away.
I'd been a little bit. Regardless of all that, it just had a lot of controversy and stuff around it. Not just that, but it was also like the satanic images and the fact that it was one of the first major first-person shooters, so there was all that about it. It's like, it's a shooting simulator and.
Well, I want to talk about those satanic images, because they're really key to the game. Like Brutal Legend years later, this game really feels like it's inspired by metal covers and metal music, which is part of why the soundtrack is so good. It's an homage to that.
Yeah, specifically the first song on the first level is amazing, and you're just going around shooting dudes, and they're like these spiky guys, and it's so metal. If you punch stuff, it explodes. It's fantastic.
And they're shooting fireballs at you, which another thing, this is an interesting game to me, because you can actually dodge most of the projectiles that are coming at you, which is unrealistic in a modern shooter where they're shooting bullets, but it makes the gameplay way more fun, in my opinion.
Well, it gets you into that type of pattern thing. You can see when the enemies are starting their attack up, so you can start shifting to get out of the way. It just made a great experience to me. I mean, even though it felt really odd for the first couple levels when
you can't look up and down.
Yeah, there'd be an enemy above me or below me, and I'd be trying to look down, especially when there's stuff down below you. So you're looking, you're like, you're trying to sidle around on the upstairs, trying to see what's down there. You're like, I don't think that's going to kill me.
Doom Guy's neck is actually so well muscled that he can't move his
head. Yeah, he can't move his head up and down. It's just, I have no neck. I gave it away for my BFG.
One thing to say is the game is pretty forgiving when it comes to aiming up and down. If you're looking straight, you can usually get things that are on stairs below you. It's a little disorienting, but you don't usually shoot over them.
Well, it's got an auto-aim. If they're closest to you, it'll shoot at them first.
Although, the damage done by each weapon is actually proportional to how close to the center of the enemy you're shooting at.
That would explain why some of them, if you got them right on top, the shotgun would kill the imps in one hit.
Yeah, the big guys that run at you, I don't know what.
No, those are the bulls.
No, this is something else.
Oh.
We'll take 3 shots if you don't hit the center, but only 2 if you hit exactly on center both times.
Before we get any further, this game has been released a lot, so much that there's a Wikipedia page entitled Different Ports of Doom.
So I think the faster way to go through what it is on is by saying what it isn't on, which I think is the GameCube, Wii, and Wii U.
I don't think it's on the PlayStation 2 or the PlayStation.
Or the original Xbox.
I think it's on the PlayStation.
You might be right. I don't know.
We'll check and put it in the show notes, if this makes it in there.
No, we won't. We don't care.
True.
The moral of the story is it's been ported to freaking everything.
So I played it.
I think I saw it on the microwave, too.
I played it on the Xbox 360 Live Arcade.
I had it on the Xbox 360 BFG edition of Doom 3. So it had Doom, Doom 3, and Doom 2.
And I played it at first in my browser as a Flash game. Decided that I wanted the music, and then went and played the original DOS version.
Is it just me, or are you guys amused by the fact that you can actually play what was a full-release game in Flash now?
Oh, definitely. That's awesome.
You can play Castlevania in Flash as well. I mean, that's not terribly uncommon.
Actually, my favorite not-emulating site, on the download page for every single ROM, they actually have an option to just play it in the browser. I've never actually done it, but I assume it works just fine, so.
That is pretty awesome.
So, one thing I had trouble with, which it sounds like a console version alleviated, is in order to strafe in the original Doom, you have to hold down Alt, in addition to the arrow key that you want to strafe in the direction of.
Why is that?
Why is what?
Why do you need to hold down Alt and push an arrow key? Couldn't you use the mouse to turn around?
This is before mouse look was discovered.
If you try to use the mouse, you actually move in the direction that you move the mouse. You don't look. You, like, if you move the mouse up, your character moves
forward.
Can
you strafe with the mouse and move to the side?
No.
Maybe. I think it's actually the mouse takes the place of the arrow keys. So, by default, your arrow keys are forward and backward, always move forward and backward. Left and right, turn to left and right, unless you're holding Alt, in which case it's strafe left and right. Left control is shoot, and space is interact.
I'm assuming the number keys are your weapons?
Yeah.
We played it on the console, and I assume the additions are pretty similar. So you have the standard one stick moves you, one stick looks around. Like, very nice. The disadvantage is Y circles forward with guns and B circles back. So you have much harder times reaching for a weapon, which sucks since there are like four unused buttons.
To be fair, 90% of the time, I just use the shotgun. So
well, yeah, I think we did too.
Also, the chain gun is great for those big floaty eyeball guys because you stun lock them.
I usually just use the shotgun on those just because I was lazy and didn't want to switch to the minigun. I think I have it worse than you guys that I might need this later. So I was conserving all ammo for every gun I wasn't using other than the shotgun.
See, I was using the gun I had the highest proportional amount of ammo for at basically all times.
That's basically what I did too.
I was just almost always using the shotgun. If that ran out, I used the minigun.
I only had ammo problems on one level. I think it was early on in episode 2. It's like a warehouse. I got pretty low.
I can see that. 3-2, I actually ran out of ammo before I killed all the enemies, so I had to go around punching them in order to make it to the end of the stage. But after that, I got up to like 4,000 bullets.
I think I ran out of ammo on the one that Jeremy is describing. I don't think I ran out of the one that you're talking about.
Well, it was because I had just been the second episode and started the third episode. There are a lot of enemies in the third episode, but you don't start with a lot of guns. So you start with a pistol, and then you have to go find a shotgun, and it doesn't give you a whole lot of ammo until about the fourth level.
Is it possible you just suck at aiming?
It's quite possible.
Okay, just throwing that out there.
Let's talk about the way the game is segmented. Since it's 3 episodes and 5 difficulty levels, I know this wasn't the first game with difficulty levels, because Mega Man X has them and a few other games do, but it's got 5 of them, which is quite a few.
Do we even remember what the full difficulty level list is?
Very easy, easy, medium, hard, and very hard.
Well, which... I meant the actual wording, but yeah, that's pretty much...
Yeah, the default difficulty name is Hurt Me Plenty.
The game is very thematic, which is good. That ties back in with the satanic imagery. All the enemies are demons and marines who are possessed and shooting you. There are skulls on the wall everywhere. There's lava. There's toxic radiation.
And actually, the further you get into the game, the less, like, mechanical and sci-fi it is, and the more hellish it gets, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, because I think episode 1 is in the world of living on the moon. The episode 2 is on
the other moon. One's
the
on
other
Deimos,
moon.
One's on
Deimos.
And then, which is above hell. And then episode 3 is actually in hell.
Indeed.
You didn't beat the game, did you?
I almost beat the game.
Okay, well,
I'm really close.
The very final boss is a big spider mecha demon thing.
I love the boss of the second episode. He was the cybernetic demon with a machine or the rocket launcher gun arm.
Yeah, the cyber demon is funny. He's the final boss of Doom 3 as well.
And then he explodes. Like, completely. There's, like, no dying animation. He goes, like, poof, in blood.
Well, that's actually something I was thinking about, is that when, because it's primarily an exploration game, if you can't find where you need to go, you get that element of, I am cool, even when you're walking through these areas that you've already cleared, because all the bodies are still there, so it's like, yeah, I kicked your ass.
Zach said this is an exploration game, and some people out there might be like, what? It's Doom. How is this an exploration game? The maps are varied and complex, and there's secret areas everywhere.
They're small by modern standards, but they're very labyrinthian. They're all hallways, and because of the perspective, it's kind of like Phantasy Star in that it's easy to get lost. But there are way, way, way more landmarks, which makes navigation much easier. The problem is sometimes you do get a little stuck, and the fun of this game is when enemies pop up and you get to shoot them. The levels are pretty short, so they reward it pretty well, but if you miss a switch, which is kind of easy to do because they don't stand out from the rest of the wall texture that much, you can be going around in circles for a long time lost, and well, that's not fun.
I want to say something on that. Jeremy and Tyler, off the mics, you guys both said you got lost.
Occasionally. The textures on all the walls look the same to me, so...
There was only one element I got lost, and I think it was in that warehouse level you were describing. I'd forgotten about that level, but yeah, I got a little bit turned around, but other than that, I thought it was pretty easy to find where I had to go. Of course, I wasn't really secret hunting, so I wasn't really exploring all that much.
I kind of was. And that's, I actually started using the map rather excessively, to the point where I would actually bring up the map in the middle of combat to make sure I was going the right way through the hordes of enemies.
And one of the nice things about the labyrinth is it has secret areas, like Mario and stuff, where you get new weapons and you can get, say, a rocket launcher earlier than you would be able to just normally find it. And all sorts of extra ammo, which will come in handy if you're in one of the levels where you might run out.
I think this game's biggest saving grace in terms of exploration is how fast the Doom guy runs when you hold down the run button. That guy can book it.
I didn't find the run button until I was almost done with the game, which was unfortunate.
Well, I found the run button when I was looking at a, I was looking, because I'm like, I know you can run, because I was staring at one of those pools of acid, and there was something I needed on the other side. So I'm staring at it going, I know you can run, because I know you get across this thing without doing any real damage to yourself. I actually brought up the controls thing in the menu, and went, oh, so that's what run is.
Health as a sort of gate for exploration is interesting, because there are lots of places where you have to go through an acid trail that normally your impulse is to avoid that leads to a secret area. And so if you have enough health and you know about it, you can say, hey, I can go down here. It's also interesting, some of the secret areas will have, say, tons and tons of demons, but 200% health if you beat them. So you're trading a whole bunch of ammo for these powerful power-ups,
well,
which is cool.
The other the thing that you didn't get to is you say that some of these leads to secrets. Some of these things where you're going on these really deadly, you know, acid and lava things, are that's where you have to go.
Yeah,
you have to run over those to get to the end of the level.
But usually there's a radiation suit or something, though, to sort of key you on that, though.
By the third episode, there are actually places where you have to take damage running over environmental damage like that with no rad suits in the level.
Well, there's usually one or two rad suits in the level, but you have to go over them, so you're going to take a hit anyway before you get to the rad suit.
It's not that bad, though, because you get up to 200% health and 200% armor, which you can take a lot of hits.
Did you really figure out what the armor did? It seemed to subtract as you got hit, and I couldn't tell if it was reducing the health damage or what.
I think that's what it does. It reduces health damage based on how much armor you have.
I'm not sure in what manner, but it definitely reduces the amount of health damage you take, because I know one hit from those guys who just get up in your face and start trying to chomp you will kill you, or will do 25% damage if you have no armor, and do way less than that if you have 200% armor.
Yeah, so those are the guys that are called bulls, just because that's what they kind of look like to me.
So are they actually called that, or is that what you call
that's
them?
What I called them, because okay. I didn't look up what they're all called.
Well, you just said those guys are called bulls, as if you had some authority on this.
Well, I have said it on the internet. It is now true.
That is true.
Zach is a cryptozoologist.
It's not cryptozoologist. I am a demonologist. Different thing.
So he's actually a Hadeszoologist? A hell zoologist.
Yes.
I'm a hellologist. I study the terrain and geography of hell, which apparently you can get to by jumping off of Deimos, so
I think hell was temporarily located there.
It's
like
actually
they moved it there.
The moon was temporarily located there.
Yeah,
the moon was moved to
hell.
Duh. I've seen Event Horizon.
Your guy gets to hell because he dies at the end of the first episode.
Does he?
Yeah.
I thought you got on the teleporter and that took
you. Well,
and
then you get mobbed by a bunch of enemies.
If you read the text screen at the end, it says it's not supposed to end like this. You're not supposed to get all the way through this and die at the end.
Well, it never says that you actually die, though. I just assume he fought them all off and he's like, where the hell am I? So
that was my assumption as well.
Because
based on the way the text screen was worded, made me think that you died.
Because in the original game, that was all you got, I think it was more of a to-be-continued sort of hook.
I think so.
Maybe. I'll go back through episode 1 and look at that.
Well, it's also way back when. Episode 1 was shareware, and so the way you install the games is through a WAD on DOS systems. I love that they call it a WAD. So it actually had menu options for all three games, but it was actually missing the game data for the second and third episode. So they would send you the first episode for free. You could play it as much as you wanted, and if you tried to play the other two, it just says, buy the other two. The first one was their hook to buy the other two.
They were the first ones to really do episodic gaming that we're seeing now.
Also, the help screen where you can like look at the controls and stuff, before you actually get to the controls, it comes up with a giant ad for Doom in Doom. Even if you're playing the full version, comes up with a giant Doom ad, and then you get to look at the controls.
It's kind of easy to see why this game took off so much, though. I'm not a first-person shooter guy, and I found it a lot of fun. You guys have both said this is one of the most fun games we've played recently. Zach, I think you would say it's the most fun out of the games we've played, since you joined.
Yeah, I'll just leave it there.
I think I agree, actually. I think this is the most fun I've had with a game since Zach joined the podcast, so...
I think I like Zelda more, but we can have that argument again later.
This was a good mix of exploration and frenetic action. And the enemies, as Zach said, have pretty obvious tells to how they're going to attack. It's a lot of fun.
It is, and I think they do a really good job of encouraging replayability. At the end of every level, you get a percentage of the enemies you killed. You get a percentage of the secrets you found that tells you, A, hey, there are secrets, maybe I should be looking. And B, makes you feel awesome when it says 100%. And then it gives you a par time, to which encourages speedruns and, you know, saying, oh, I bet I can do that better.
One thing I liked about that was that it didn't give you a grade. You know, a lot of games, like in Devil May Cry or a lot of those types of games, it comes up with all the stats at the end of the level and says, hey, you got a ironed trophy. You suck. But this one never actually does it. You can get through it, and it Doom doesn't judge.
You know what the best grade is in Dead or Alive? Double D.
Listeners, please insert a rim shot right there. What are we talking about again?
The fact that it doesn't give you a grade, and that we like the fact that it doesn't give you a grade because that feels like the game's judging you for some reason.
Well, yeah, it's like, the goal is to succeed at the level. However you choose to succeed at level, be it running past all the enemies, not looking for all the secrets, that's all on you. But you got all these other ones, it's like, you sucked because you beat the level in a manner other than what we said you should do it in.
Actually, so when... I said that I ran out of ammo on the second level of the third episode. The third level, I spawned in with no ammo and decided to just book it past the enemies. And there's like one of those like goat satyr looking guys that throw the green energy.
The satyrs, yeah.
And I just like ran by him. I'm like, hey, a box of shotgun shells. Picked up the shotgun shells, turned around and just started plugging them.
The first time those show up at the end of the first level, I was not out of ammo, but I didn't realize that you could sort of strafe off of the area where they come out. So when I finally got away from them, I just booked it and just ran away from them.
I actually, because my first inclination in any game, I'm supposed to be destroying whatever's in front of me, I started shooting. And then I found out you can strafe around them, so I kept going.
Ed was watching me play through the first episode, and I got to the last level, and I had basically no ammo left except for my rocket launcher, which I had not fired a single shot from the entire time. I had like 80 rockets, so I just stood in one corner and went, rocket, 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 rocket man, blowing right up some demon goat guys.
Ah, great, he's singing again.
All right, anything else you want to say about Doom?
It's a fun game, I recommend it. I think it's worth whatever you can find to pay for it.
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend it.
So we fought demons and space marines. Tyler, what should we take on next?
The undead.
All of them?
Yeah, pretty
Castlevania?
Much. Oh, no, not Castle. Well, there's more than... there are, like, bats in Castle and Medusa heads. I don't even know what those are.
Technically, they're just a head. That's an undead, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I think they're actually
It's an
living.
Unhead.
It's unhead.
Extra rim shot goes here.
Ba-dum-tsh. So, I think next week, we're going to play a platformer because it's been a while. I think Mario is the only platformer we've played for this podcast.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Mega Man, but that
Castlevania.
Was...
Castlevania.
Also, those were both before
Kirby's
we...
Adventure.
Those are all before we started doing the podcast.
ActRaiser.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a platformer, I guess. So, we're going to play Ghosts and Goblins.
Do we have to?
Yes.
I'm with Jeremy. Do we have to?
It's going to be awesome. You'll love it. Actually, you'll probably hate it, but it'll be awesome. I dare you to beat it. I'm looking at Zach. Zach's bad at platformers.
I am... I got nothing.
That's actually the trade-off you took for being so good at first-person shooters is bad at platformers.
I'll beat this one just to shut you up.
Next time on Last Time, we'll have to record the podcast again after we finish recording it.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. This episode is copyright The Creators.
All the video games and other content referenced herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
If you want to stalk one of us individually, you can contact me, Tyler, at tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can contact me, Jeremy, spelled G-E-R-E-M-Y, @jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And lastly, I'm Zach @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Zach spelled Zash, by the way. If you don't want to follow the blog, you can follow our show page at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to follow the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
We have an RSS feed. You should click on it. Like all good gamer geeks, this was recorded in our basement.
Or our parents' basement.
That's still
I'm
not a
thing. I'm kind of wanting to use the awesome thing I found. We got to talking about it on Tuesday because Cody mentioned it. We're standing around and he mentioned it. I'm like, I don't necessarily want to talk about that right now, but I feel I have to.
My Little Pony.
Oh, the Little Pony RPG.
The RPG somebody did.
I like the concept, but I can't imagine what game you would play in that because that universe is so sickly sweet. That
no, it's not.
Okay, well, actually,
are you kidding?
They live in a horror-filled environment, but the main characters never see anything.
They live in D&D.
There's a lazy pharaonic empress who doesn't fix any of the problems because it's easier to hoist off on her students.
And if you make her mad, she sends you to the moon for 1,000 years. There's basilisks, minotaurs.
The Minotaur's a pretty cool dude, though.
Yeah, he is a pretty cool dude, but that is not a pleasant universe.